Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with Life Support Outreach Church. I am so excited to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight. In the name of Jesus, I give God glory. We're going to get ready to call our Bible class on tonight to order. We're going to have a song, a scripture, and a prayer. We're going to have a short devotion. And then we're going to go into the study of the Word of God. So, but first of all, giving reverence to God who is the head of my life and to everyone in their respective places, I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on the radio broadcast with all of you. I just want to just give reverence to Apostle Deans in his absence and to everyone. Thank God for today. So we're going to get ready. I'm going to have a song. Let me see.
Your mother, your sister, and your brother.
Amen. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 119, verses 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my mouth, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as inheritance forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes anyway. I have just read you from Psalms 119, verses 105 to 112. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come on tonight humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, Lord, just giving you praise and glory and asking you, Lord, and confessing that we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and asking you to forgive us and cleanse us with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just cleanse us, dip us down in the shed blood of Jesus tonight. Father, first of all, I come just asking you to bind the strong man from our radio broadcast, Lord, and bind up the strong man on tonight in the name of Jesus. And bind him up in the name of Jesus from our lives. In the name of Jesus, cast them out and command them to go. The blood of Jesus is against the enemy. The blood of Jesus is against Satan now. The blood of Jesus is against the enemy. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you tonight. I'm asking you to let me, Deborah Deans, decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister and teach us tonight. Father, I don't know nothing apart from you. But, Father, I ask you to teach this book of Revelation. Teach it. Reveal it to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you said if anybody should read it, we'll be blessed. You didn't say if anybody read it and understand it, but you said if we read it, we'll be blessed. So I'm asking you on tonight, Lord, to let us understand and open up our minds and open up our heart and give us divine wisdom and knowledge that we may understand this book, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, that we may see you through this book, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, we'll be careful, Father, to give you praise and to give you glory. All these things we ask in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen. We're going to, I just thank God for being here this evening. We're going to get ready to go into our word. We're going to be coming out of the book of Revelations. We're going to start on that tonight. And we just asking God to reveal whatever it is he wants to reveal through this book. It says that anyone who reads this book will be blessed. And so, you know, some people, they're afraid to do it. I mean, I don't know why. I've never been afraid to do it. I just want God to make sure he just give us a full understanding of the book of Revelation. So we're going to go there on tonight. In the first division of this book, we see the person of Christ. We see Christ in his glory and positioned as the great high priest who is in charge of church. We see him in control. We see him in absolute control. He in control, but he in absolute control. In the Gospels, we find him meek. I'm talking about Jesus now. Lowly, humble, and dying upon the cross. He made himself subject to his enemies on earth. Himself subject to his enemies on earth. He's not like that in the book of Revelation. He's not like that. In the book of Revelation, he's in control. He is still the Lamb of God. That's who Jesus is. He is the Lamb of God. But we see the wrath of the Lamb that terrifies the earth in this book. Now, the theme of the entire Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that he is over everything. The scriptures are being fulfilled day by day, day by day, day by day. Since Christ is God, he is the one who fills the total word of God. Now, this right here needs to be kept in mind in the book of Revelations more than any other book of the Bible, even more than the Gospel. The Bible tells what he has done, is doing, and will do. Revelation emphasizes what he is doing and what he will do. We need to keep that in mind because in the book of Revelation, there's so many symbols and so many different things that the Lord is going to reveal to us in the book of Revelation now. I don't feel like it's a hard book to understand. You just have to, when we study it, we have to pay attention to everything, and every little detail counts. Every little detail we have to look at, it counts. So Revelation 1 and 1, I'm going to read the first verse because we'll probably be on it. Anyway, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John. So why you think it had to go from God to Jesus Christ to the angels to John and then to the servant? That's the steps in which Jesus took this, or God took this, the book of Revelations. He took it from God to Jesus Christ to the angel. The angel took it to John, to the servant, and John took it to the people. There's so many things that we must and we have to understand, and if we don't get it all this time, we got to do it again. because this is right where we are in the world today. In the book of Revelation, that's what I see. And so we need to understand where we are. But in that verse, the book of Revelation is going to reveal what God sent to Jesus Christ. And he sent it to angels, and he took it to John. Because he's trying to, he wants to unveil or reveal, I think it's the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show unto his bondservant things which must shortly come to pass completely. I feel like God was just trying to show John. And back in the Bible days, they had angels all the time. And the men and women of God saw angels. They was more prevalent to show up in those days. Now, I've seen angels, real live angels myself. But everybody, and if they see them, they don't know them because you have different kind of angels. And we'll get into that on down the line. But you have angels that you don't know that they're angels. And listen, God reveal it to you. Them to you, but God sent it to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent it by the angels, the angel, this messenger, and then he told it to John. And so we're gonna get there. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna want to go no faster than what I'm going. First of all, title of this book of Revelation, the book of Revelation, the theme is the person of Jesus Christ. That's one person, a singular. And I'm not going to call him a retired preacher because he is the Savior. But he did preach, and he's our Savior. So, but God took it just to him, and then he took it to the angels. Now, to the angel, one angel, this all was one singular. I really feel like that's important. I really feel like that. I don't know what the meaning of it is, but I know when he said God took it to Jesus Christ took it to the angel took it to John, and John took it to the servant. And when it is the, like the apocalypse, that is the uncovering, the unveiling, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. So they took, God took it and gave it to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took it and gave it to the angel. The angel went and got John. And believe me, John didn't know what to think. That's just like an angel show up in your dream. If you never had one to show up, they will show up in your dream. They will show up, period. And he took it, an apocalypse, I can't even pronounce good, which is an uncovering or unveiling or revelation of Jesus Christ. to show unto his servant the things which must shortly come to pass. Must shortly come to pass. This is things that some, I know a lot of it has already happened, but it's going to keep going. We probably in the maybe, and when I was studying, and I'm thinking maybe the sixth chapter, it might be further along than that. Might be further along than that. But in that last chapter, Revelation, John is instructed, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. That's the Revelation 22:10. It's not a sealed book. It is open and to be understood in our day. So we have to, this is why I'm saying we got to dig into this. And I mean, I've been really, because I got some word studies, and I got my regular dictionary, and I got the Bible dictionary, and I got a commentary, because I want to know. I've studied it many times, but I want to go deeper and deeper and deeper into God through the book of Revelations. There's a lot of things going to happen we don't understand, but by and by we will understand. And what it's going to do is going to take us to Daniel, the book of Daniel. It's going to take us to the book of Jeremiah, different books we're going to go through to understand the book of Revelation. And some people may understand it all. I don't. I'm just being real. I can't lie about the word of God. I understand a lot of it, but I don't understand everything in the book of Revelation. He'll probably show it to me by and by. A whole lot of things have already passed. But it's some things just like the rapture. You know, they say it's the rapture, but it don't mention it in the word of God. Rapture, the word rapture, it says that we're going to be caught up in there, and some people think Jesus gonna come here and get us, but he said no, his feet not gonna hit this ground. We gonna be caught up with him. Things we gotta really, because people will teach you what they want you to know, and if they don't know it, then they'll teach you what they want you to hear. And I'm not finna do that. If I don't know it, I don't know it, and I'm gonna let you know I don't know it, and we're gonna find out. I'll find out, because I call around, I make some calls, or I go upstairs and get Apostle Deans, and he'll explain it better to me. But let me see. The word, okay. Okay, we're going to move on to the second verse. It says, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, who bore witness of the word of God and of the testimony witness of Jesus Christ, even as many things as he saw. So saw is the past tense of see. It's the past tense of see. So he see this, what's going on. See, the book of Revelation is actually a letter, and like any letter, it has an author and an intended audience. But unlike any other letter in the Bible, this letter has a unique chain of custody. It begins at first as the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the Greek word for revelation can also be translated as apocalypse. And I've already went over that, to uncover, to reveal. Mm-hmm. And it's apocalyptic literature, a type of scripture heavily depends on symbols to explain future events. Symbols are so important in the book of Revelation, and no other letter in the New Testament is said to be the direct revelation of Jesus Christ like this says. With God giving this revelation to Jesus, which tell us that God refers to the Father. So the revelation we have in this book went from the Father to the Son. And the Son shows this revelation to his bondservant. A bondservant in the New Testament term for the followers of Jesus, and it literally means a slave. And between us and Jesus, there are a couple of more steps in this chain of custody. The revelation goes from the Father to Jesus to his angels. The word angel literally means messenger. And that's the primary role angels play in the scripture. That's what they are. They are messengers. When you dream of one, I dreamed of one time on the train, and we're not going to even go into that. The word angel is singular in this passage here. So we don't know which angel is in view here. We don't know which one. But as we study through the book, we will see angels referring to prominently as messengers. It's a lot of angels, different ones. It's different in Thursday. I have the different angels. Finally, the angels will communicate the details to John. Now, John is the Apostle John, as church history has it or records it. The text does not mention which John, because it's different John. I'm assuming it's the John, the Gospel John, the one that's in the Gospels. And John, most familiar to the early church, would have been the Apostle John, that he was a disciple, and then Jesus made them apostles. Now, why is this chain of custody so elaborate and significant? Just as it is today, the early church was running rampant with false teaching, and they had a lot of false teaching, especially with teaching regarding the return of Jesus. After Jesus departed the earth, the church expected his quick return. They thought he was coming right back. And then, because he didn't come right back, they were saying all kind of stuff about him coming back. Some were saying it had already happened or was about to happen, while others were saying it would never happen. And that's one thing today, because you have to think about when all those bishops and people were dying here with the COVID. I sit back one day, I said, Lord, you're not rapturing the people up, are you? You know, because it was so many. You see how many people that's dead, that's in dying. So that's one thing I thought about. But that's not what it is. But back in that day, that's what, you know, that's some of the stuff they were saying. That, you know, they were just saying stuff because he didn't come right back. He didn't, you know, and they was thinking all kind of stuff. Well, you know, back in the day, in the Word of God, in not in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel, when the Israelites, they took God through so much, the Father through so much, and complaining and stuff like that, and saying all kind of stuff. So here over the New Testament, when Jesus went to be with God, they thought the Father, they thought he was coming right back, and he didn't. And so they had things to say, which we knew they would. And some of them, some were saying it had already happened, but it hadn't. And that's what I was thinking about the rapture when all those people died. It crossed my mind. So here we have a definite explanation of his return and all that happened before that moment. And to ensure that the church accepted this testimony as true, we've given the chain of custody to validate the content of this. We can trust the author because it's the Apostle John who was called into service as an apostle by Jesus Christ. Like I said, he was a disciple at first, but before Jesus went to the right hand of the Father, he affirmed all of them, all of his disciples, as apostles. And we know John received it accurately because it came from Jesus' angel, who got it from Jesus, who got it from the Father. So it went through them, singular, the Father, to the Son, to the angel, and to John. I wonder why, and I'm just, it's just me, I'm just saying, I wonder why it didn't go from the Father to the Son, to the Holy Ghost, and to Jesus, to John. I wonder why. I studied it. Then notice in verse 1, we're told that Jesus shows this revelation to his bondservant. By show, the text means that the details of the event are played out before John's eyes rather than explained in words. So it says that Jesus shows. So John was looking at this. He was seeing it with his eyes. It just didn't mean, you know, he saw this like a vision. He saw this like a vision. Rather than trying to explain all this to him, he just showed it to him. Furthermore, John saw in verse 3 that this letter is his testimony to all that he saw, which in saw is in the past tense for see. So he was looking at what was happening, and I know it kind of blew his mind, because it's like, here you are, you, God the Father, then threw you into a vision, and you landed here before an angel. And the angel is showing you what Jesus is giving him. And I know he was trembling. I know he was afraid. I know he was. He didn't know what was going on or where he was. Now, this is a fascinating detail because it means the events are explained. They are just displayed. They wasn't explained. They was displayed. And herein lies some of the reasons that this book generates so much confusion. Jesus says, show. And John says, saw. So John was looking at it. Like I said, saw is the past tense of see. So John saw this. He seen this. Because the details of this letter wasn't transmitted in a narrative form as writing. So he had to see it. Nobody wrote nothing down. Nobody wrote it. He saw this. They were communicated to the apostle visually. So John related what he saw by describing the vision. John must put into words what he sees, though obviously he doesn't understand what he's seeing at times. And a lot of times when you have a vision, you don't really understand at that moment. God will reveal to you what he's showing you, but you don't readily, when you in a vision, you're not asleep, you still awake. You woke, but it's like, I don't know, I was in one this morning, I can tell you. Like Paul said, you don't know whether you're in the body or out, you don't know. You just know what you see, and you know who you see, and like that. Sometimes you don't know who you see, but it's, you know, anyway. Now, he didn't try to interpret the meaning of the images for the most part. He just told us what he saw, and he leaves the interpretation of the meaning to the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit. So I wonder why, and I pray about it, why it didn't go from the Father to the Son to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to John. So as a result of this methodology, the description of events is clouded in mystery. Yeah. And God is going to reveal it. Rather than explaining what will happen, the book leaves the reader to make sense of the meaning of what John saw or what he sees. This also serves to cure the meaning from those who aren't intended to understand, the unbeliever. See, it's a lot of things we're not going to understand, and it's a lot we will. But God said, blessed is they that read this book. He didn't say, blessed is they that read and understand this book. He wants you to read it. And the Holy Spirit, just like he interpreting the meaning to John, the Holy Spirit, he will interpret it to us as we go on. It's going to come to you. He's going to open it up so you can understand it, so we can understand it. Finally, in verse 3, John says that those who read and those who hear the words of this prophecy and heed the things written in it will be blessed by God. This is the only book of the Bible that contains a promise of specific blessing to a believer. It's the only book in the Bible. Seems like the Lord knew we might be hesitant to study this book, and so he gave us an added incentive or something to do so. That's something. And to get this blessing, to receive this blessing, John says we should read or hear and heed or observe it. Yeah. To heed or observe the book means to take it to heart, accepting what is written as true and looking forward to what it foretells. Because this book do foretell, like it's doing. But notice, like I just said, also what John doesn't say, he doesn't say we must understand it in order to be blessed. He don't say that because the Holy Spirit has to reveal it to us. That's for sure. Because you're not going to just know exactly. You can if the Holy Spirit of God wants you to, but, you know, we trying to learn and open up these scriptures to study, because if you don't study, the people perish. Do we have any comments or any questions or anything? Okay. Now, our understanding of the book will vary, and yet the blessings is equally available to all that read and observe this book and take it to heed this book. Take it to heart. We simply need to dive in, reading it, accepting it as truth, like all the other scripture in the Bible. We got to accept the word of God just like it's written. Just like it says, just like he said he saw, we got to accept that in order to be blessed. That was the promise. When God said he would bless Abraham, he exceeded all expectations. We should desire the blessings because the whole point of it is to encourage our interest in to study the work here. And with that opening, we're gonna really dive in it. we're gonna do some work, and I will be teaching it twice a week. And you know, on Thursday night, usually our praise, prayer, and prophecy hour, we're gonna study this word in about 15 or 20 minutes before time to stop, then I'll pray. But God wants us to know this word because in this day and time, it's so many things happening. We need to be about our Father's business. We can't keep sitting up looking at the news and wondering what this going to happen and all this kind of stuff. We need to focus where God wants us to focus. We need to do what God wants us to do. It's so many people out there that need to be listening to, need to be learning to. But whoever is here is who God wanted to be here. And I thank God for it. If it wasn't but one person, if it wasn't nobody, I knew God would send angels, and I would teach the same way. If it was 500,000, I would teach it the same way. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 says, and John, let me read it out of my Bible. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. The number seven occurs 54 times in the book. It appears more frequently than any other number, the number seven. And in the Bible, it is associated with completion, fulfillment, and perfection. In the book of Revelation, there are seven churches and seven spirits, seven lampstands with candlesticks, seven stars, seals, or the scrolls, seven horns, seven eyes of the Lamb, seven angels, and seven trumpets, seven thunders, seven heads of the dragon, seven heads of the beast, seven golden bowls, and seven kings, and the seven spirits. And this is, I don't know. We're going to know what all of that means before we get out of the book of Revelation. What all the seven, whatever it is, we're going to go into each one of them. But I want to read verse 5, 6, 7 right quick. And we ain't going to be able to get it quickly. So, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and released us from our sins by his blood. You know, we're talking about Jesus Christ. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with a cloud, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Mighty. He says in verse 4, he is writing to the seven churches that are in Asia. This refers to the seven Asian churches. Make more sense once we get into chapter 2 and 3, but yeah. But we can begin to understand it now simply by observing the use of the number 7, because the number 7, we all know, refers to completion. This is a fascinating detail because it means the events are explained. They are just, aren't explained, I'm sorry. They not explained. They are just displayed. And herein lies some of the reason that this book generates so much confusion. Jesus said, show, and John said, saw, because the details of this letter weren't transmitted in a narrative form as writing. Like I said before, they are communicated to the apostle visually. So John related what he saw by describing the vision. John must put into words what he sees, though obviously he doesn't understand what he's seeing at times. He's trying to explain what he saw, so we got to keep an open mind. Our spirit needs to be open so we can accept some of the things he's saying, because he's trying to relate to us what he saw. And he didn't try to interpret the meaning of the images for the most part, because he didn't know what they were. But the Holy Spirit, he just told us what he saw, and he leaves the interpretation of the meaning to the Holy Spirit. So as a result of this methodology, the description of events is clouded, like I said. So now we need to go on to try to We don't have to try to figure it out. This is all I'm saying. We don't have to, but the Holy Spirit going to interpret it to us. If that's who's going to do the interpretation. What we have to do, like I say, is keep an open mind, and he'll do what he do best. Okay, the numbers feature in the book of Revelation, so we need to understand how we arrive at the meaning of the numbers in the Bible. We're not talking about Bible codes or nothing like that or some other thing. We're simply talking about careful observation, paying attention to how the Lord uses a particular number, and most of the time it's seven. But no, I got a book of numbers, and it tells what each one of those numbers mean. But this is number seven. We usually use that. A lot of churches use number seven. And can tell you the meaning of the number seven, because it's frequently in the Bible. And as we observe the way he uses it, we discover that the Lord has assigned a meaning to the number. The number seven represents a complete or perfect result. Just as the number 100% represents the whole. So you can think of the number seven in the Bible as God's way of saying 100%, complete. So John says this letter goes to seven churches, but we know there were four more than seven communities of believers in the world. But it's just these seven churches that he's talking about. And certainly the Lord wasn't only interested in communicating to these seven communities. Jesus was speaking to the entire church throughout history. And so he chose seven churches to receive this letter to represent all of the churches, the whole 100%. These particular seven Asian churches were important as well, as we will see why in the next two chapters. We'll see why the seven churches was important. Now, the greeting John gives from all three members of the Godhead begins with the Father, who is, was, and is to come. This refers to eternal existence of God, who has already been and will always be. No matter how terrible the events of this book, they are merely moments in time to God. The God we worship is eternal, and if he is always the same, then we can know that terrible events must give way to great things. And you know, in the end, things are going to be great. We know that. He repeats the statement in verse 8, which is to emphasize not to get swept away in worry or fear over what you read here. We're not supposed to be fearful. The seven spirits before the throne of God. We know there is only one spirit of God, and the number seven means the 100%. So we know that it's one spirit, but it's 100% spirit of God. God's spirit is just one. But we will address why we're saying 100% of the Spirit when we get to chapter 4. And then we have Jesus, who is called the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the king of the earth. These three descriptions refer to three periods of Jesus' ministry as the second person of the Godhead. Prior to his event, Jesus was the one who witnessed to the existence of God through the creation and the word of God. As Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. At his appearing, Jesus became the firstborn of the dead, having been the first to die and resurrect into a body of glory, never to die again. As Paul goes on to say in Colossians, he is also head of the body, the church, and he is beginning, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. We have to, this right here, we have to remember these things. Write these scriptures down, because it's going to only help you every time we go over this. Because a lot of this stuff not just going to be explained right now, but when we get to the second chapter, the third and the fourth chapter, things are going to open up even more, and we're going to understand better. But we need to make sure we remember these scriptures and write this stuff down, because I probably won't go back over these unless and I just have to. So we're not going to go any further, because then I'll have to. Let me see. No, we're not going to go any further, because I don't want to get caught up and we won't be able to stop. But I hope you all have gotten some kind of understanding out of it. I've been studying it since last week, even before I announced I was going to do it, and then over the weekend. And then I just had to put it up yesterday because I was just too much into it, and thinking about it all the time. But it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm just going over what I wrote down, some stuff I wrote down. And like I said, I had my word study books. I got a strong, complete dictionary. I got a commentary. I got the Webster Dictionary. So I know, and I can look these words up, and these words mean different things. And then a lot of this stuff is symbolic, so we really need to know what we're looking at and what we're studying. So, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm very excited about it. And we're going to go for what we know and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us and tell us the rest. So I'm going to get ready to close out. And if you have any questions or anything, or you want to interject anything, just let me know. Anyway, we're going to get ready to close out. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the book. We thank you for the book of Revelations. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for opening our understanding. We thank you for opening our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. We just thank you tonight. We give you praise for every letter, every meaning, everything about the book, Lord. We just thank you, and thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the promise that you blessed us. You're blessing us. I just give you praise tonight. I give you glory. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You all have a blessed night. God love you, and I love you, and I'll be right back. By the grace of God, we'll be back on Thursday night to finish our study, to get the piece of it. God bless y'all. Have a good night.